Buyers stepped into the corn, soybean, and cattle markets to start the week. And hog futures, well, they were mixed. The mixed trade in the hog market was pressure on the nearby contracts with some strength in the fall and winter month contracts. Makes me wonder if it might mean that the market is starting to reflect the likelihood of lower pork production later this year.
Live from Operation Enduring Homework via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we begin with a conversation with Mark Rempe from Quad Commodities Marketing Services. And in the final segment, Carrie Artek from Artek Advisory updates us on the technicals. And right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis Michelson, it's good to hear from you, my friend. Everything good?
Hello, sir. Little hiccup this morning with the computers and the cords and the wires. I think we're in good shape now, sir.
Technology is a wonderful thing as long as it works like it's supposed to work, eh?
There was a orange alert issued at some point this morning, and I disregarded it. That's what happened. Yeah.
See, I've told you how many times now, when you get those orange warnings, you need to pay attention to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, the way I see it, orange isn't orange. You're going to ignore that. And green alert to me means go ahead and be alerted. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I always get that confused in my head. I've got it backwards.
I think you've got it wrong or backwards or something like that. Yeah.
A technician came and switched my polarity, so I think we're on the same page now.
All right. That's good to hear.
I'm at tan alert right now.
Nice. Nice, which must mean all systems go. Very good.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the conversation with Mark today. Mark Rempe from Quad Commodities. There's so much going on in the hog industry right now. Mark's also a farmer, hog producer, and it'll be good to get his take on what he sees happening in this hog industry right now and what we need to do for some risk management and what you can do for risk management right now. Where are the opportunities? Yeah. Can you go ahead and do something in those fall month contracts do it at a level that'll work for you? I don't know if there is an opportunity in here right now or not, but we'll find out what Mark thinks later.
Okay, good deal.
Yeah. All right, let's get to it. What was moving the markets around today?
Well, Chip, last week's lower close on the weekly wheat chart built downside momentum that carried over to start this week. Continuing talk of increased export competition in the wheat market and improved growing conditions in some wheat exporting countries also put the market on the defensive to start the week. Export inspections of wheat in the week ended May 14 totaled nearly 441,000 metric tons. Chip, that lined up with already lackluster trade expectations. Yeah. July hard red winter wheat was 6 cents lower, 446 and a quarter. July soft red slipped 3 and a quarter to 497. July spring wheat fell 1 cent and a half, 504 and 3 quarters today, buddy.
Yeah, when we are the exporter of last resort or the residual supplier to the export market out there, it gets really frustrating when weather in Russia or Ukraine or even Europe, for that matter, is more important than the weather in the middle of the U.S. Central Plains in hard red winter wheat country. I get it. That is frustrating, but that's the way it is right now in this wheat trade. Yeah.
Export inspections of corn in the week ended May 14 totaled just over 1.15 million metric tons. Chip, that helped to provide some light support for corn futures in early trade. Traders also pointed to spillover from the soybean market as a source of support for corn prices, but buying was limited by expectations that U.S. corn planting will be 80 to 85% complete as of yesterday. Traders also continue to watch for signs that Chinese buyers are in the U.S. corn market. There continued to be reports the country is looking to rebuild state-owned reserves with U.S. corn. July corn futures were a penny and a half higher at 320 and three quarters. September corn firmed 1 1/4 cent to 324 and a quarter. These corn closed at 332 and three quarters, up 0.75 cents today.
Yeah, I think that China is going to be doing some purchasing of U.S. soybeans, U.S. corn, U.S. wheat. But with the stocks that they've already got in place right now, I just don't see them being a major buyer of U.S. corn. Maybe a million tons additional from what they've already done, but I just it's not enough to move the needle on corn exports.
Well, export inspections of U.S. soybeans of just 352,000 metric tons was at the low end of trade expectations. Soybean oil futures provided support for the complex in overnight trade, with Malaysian palm oil futures up nearly 3%. Palm oil prices are finding support from an ambitious biodiesel program in Southeast Asia. Adding support to bean prices were comments from Trump administration officials that the phase one agreement with China is absolutely not breaking down. July bean futures 6.5 cents higher, 845. August up 7 cents, 847.75. Novi bean futures closed at 852.75, up 7.25 cents on the day, buddy.
You know, I talked to Jim Wiesmeyer about that this morning on AgriTalk. We had John Harith and Jim Wiesmeyer on from Signal to Noise, and I asked him about the phase one. Is it breaking down? And he said that his sources continue to say, no, this is going to happen. They're not backing down from their early predictions that this was going to be a deal worth doing. And he said, normally by now, if it was going to turn south on us, they'd be backing away from it. And they're not.
Okay. July cotton was 45 ticks lower, 57.80. December cotton slipped 24 points to 57.93. Quickly, the livestock closes. June live cattle futures $1.72.5 higher, 98.72.5. August cattle up $1.02.5 to close at 98.85. August feeders up $1.47.5, 132.55. June lean hogs down 22.5 cents, 57.65. And July dipped a dime, 57.65. Chip.
All right, thank you very much. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Jack, how you doing today?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Kind of a good start for the soybean market this week.
Oh, a great start. Up 6 cents or more, you know, and you really can't argue with that. Nice way to get the week underway. Suppose a little bit of ideas of better demand, and not only from China, but from the biofuel side, soybean oil and palm oil up pretty sharply, really kind of helped that market out.
Very good. Very good. What are you watching closely this week, Jack? What's got to happen to make you feel better about some upside potential in these grains?
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that we're still kind of caught in a range in the beans and corn for right now. And really, it's going to take a move in the July beans above, let's say getting through 860 would be wonderful, but even getting above 850 would kind of turn the tide a little bit here. Corn market kind of looking just really kind of a sideways pattern, but everything else is looking pretty, you know, I mean, the daily charts are indicating potential to move a little bit higher, but July corn really needs to get above, say 324 to get much excitement generated, I think.
Yeah, it's been a pretty narrow trading range in that corn market here for a little while, busting out in either direction. It's going to take some confirmation, even if we do get that initial move, right?
Oh, yeah, I think so. But I think the initial move, well, you know, if it comes on good volume, then we got something to talk about here. And I think that's what's going to be driving this whole thing higher here. We need a good move. We need good volume with the move. And we need, you know, hopefully some news to go with it.
Absolutely. Jack, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
That's Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. We've got Mark Rempe from Quad Commodities up next on AgriTalk. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk. AgriTalk!
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Hello, all.
Yes. Yeah, and boy, you know, like Jack said, we are so close to making some moves to the upside that if we can make those moves in corn and soybeans, we can get on top of that next level of resistance, and maybe we can generate some additional upside momentum in here. But yeah, corn is just stuck. You know, between 315, 325, it's been we just haven't spent a whole lot of time outside of that range here the past couple of weeks, and here we are locked on both sides of 320 again today. We traded or closed on the plus side of that, but doggone it, it's been tough to generate the upside momentum. Okay, let's get into a conversation here with Mark Rempe. Mark is Quad Commodities Marketing Services and Mahaska Pork. And Mark joins us right now. Mark, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Chip. How are you doing?
Good. Good. I'm doing all right. Doing just fine. Let's talk about the conditions in this hog industry right now, Mark, because it's as brutal as we've ever seen it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. When you look back and figure that things weren't great 2 years ago, and then we had 2 years of tariffs and a nice opportunity here about a year ago with the prices spiking up, and then really, you know, market-wise, we were sitting here in the middle of January thinking maybe there's one more leg up and a great time to do some hedging, and actually we should have been doing it then. And then that's when the second half of January, when the news out of China about COVID really started hitting the hog market first, and then of course everything that happened since, and all the way up to the capacity issues. But really, it took our hedging opportunity way back there in that second half of January.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that the start of the tariffs back in May of 2018, because that really was the starting point of it. We always stay focused on soybeans. And when we went through the MFP payments, there was that big soybean payment that was included for the 2018 year, and speculation that it drove another big payment in 2019. But man, hogs have been dealing, they've been fighting the battle right along. And it's not just with China. We've also had some of those tariffs to deal with Mexico too, Mark.
Yeah. You know, we had Mexico and Canada upset with us.
Yeah.
And we had the issue with Japan that didn't get straightened out till it went into force at the beginning of the year. So, Japan was our number one customer in dollars, and okay, Mexico is our number one customer in volume for years. And throw Canada in there, and we had all three of them at us for quite a while there. So it wasn't, you're right, it wasn't just, that was before the ASF, or at the same time as ASF started, or actually a little bit before ASF hit in China. So
it has been a tough go. So here we are dealing with these capacity issues now, driven by COVID-19 and the efforts to make workers safe. And you know what, Mark? It's not just making the workers safe. We've got to make the workers comfortable with the idea of going back into those slaughterhouses too, don't we?
Yeah, it's about confidence and being comfortable. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And not just, at work, but the break rooms, the locker rooms and all that. That's actually probably harder because they just have way less square foot to work with in those two areas versus the floor, which is more spread out. So it's the whole picture that's going to have to change. And packing, and you probably saw some stuff today where the automobile companies are ramping up and starting back today, and they're going to do the same thing. So all the industries will work together, I'm sure, to figure out the distancing thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. How do you think the Packers are doing with this as far as building that confidence in the workers to get back?
I think they're doing pretty good. They've also increased the pay, and with what they've got to work with, and then they've had to work with all the different government agencies. So, we'd all like to see it come back faster, but I think given the situation and, just how it all happened so quickly, that. Yeah. You know, I think they're doing a pretty good job on that end of it.
Okay. How far behind are we on hog marketings?
I read 3.5 million over the weekend. It may not be that much, you know, maybe two. It's hard to know for sure.
Right.
But it's just hard to get caught up.
Is anybody, and now we're going to talk about some things that are a little hard to talk about. There, no doubt about that. But is anybody keeping track of how many hogs have been euthanized?
I don't think so, unless it would be at the state levels. You know, I haven't read anything about that, but they definitely, the states are going to be keeping track of it. But as far as MPPC or anything, I've not read anything or heard anything on that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know it's a question of how you take care of those carcasses, and when an animal has been euthanized, and so I would imagine that at some point, Mark, we're going to be able to go to the DNR and probably get some kind of an idea of how these animals were handled, right?
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to have to come from, and I think our state's been pretty proactive on getting word out, but here again, I haven't heard any numbers, and I don't know when we will.
Okay. So we're dealing with the market hogs the best we can. We're either getting them through a slaughterhouse that's got some capacity issues, or we're euthanizing, or we're backing them up. I've talked to some guys that have been really impressed by the ability to slow these hogs down with some kind of a maintenance ration. Mark, are you doing that?
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And our production had been poor due to herd health, so we had plenty of capacity and still do, so we haven't been tight on space. But, as soon as we got the first word that they were trimming us back, we switched as quick as we could and don't know if it's successful yet, but we'll find out eventually.
Yeah. It's all pretty interesting in what we're doing to try to control that supply of hogs moving into the plants. Okay, so from a risk management point of view, are there opportunities in the hogs that guys should be looking at right now, Mark?
Well, you know, if you're buying feeder pigs and you're buying them really cheap, yeah, you can go out and lock those in and hedge them because the feeder pigs are so cheap. And part of that reason they're cheap is because of space issues. But if you got the farrow, you know, the full producer of the farrow to finish guy, I mean, I'm just not too excited about anything. You got to go all the way to next June to get into the 70s. If somebody's really forcing you to do something, both the AUK and the DEES $50 puts are $5. That doesn't excite me, having a $45 floor when your cost is, you know, 70 plus.
Right.
So it's not a great time to be looking at hedging.
No.
There's just nothing out there.
But, you know, Mark, sometimes isn't that okay? I mean, it's okay to just say, listen, the best place for me to keep my risk is in the cash market, and I'm going to anticipate some higher prices. What's our pork supply going to be in the fourth quarter, Mark? Have you put the pencil to that?
Well, it's hard to know because all this crazy stuff's been happening.
Yeah.
But about the only thing we know for sure is all along this whole calendar year that our sow slaughter has been up.
Yeah.
But as far as gilt retention, boarded sows, euthanizing small pigs, those are impossible numbers to know.
Right.
And we basically have no idea. It's hard enough to know what's going on when everything's clicking along as you think. And right along with that, we really trim back the food service, which is understandable. But you would have thought that everybody still ate as much, but maybe they didn't. And then if you have to refill your inventory for food service, that demand is going to show up at some point.
Yeah.
And it's more up in the air than you know, even the biggies. You know, the Packers are trying to figure out where to put their emphasis, whether it's over the counter or if it's back to food service. And, those are tough ones. I don't think
I tell you what, when
when
the demand comes back from the barbecue alone, Mark, for the pork butts, that could that could be a supply side shock when other restaurants come back and start putting bacon on everything, Mark. There's another potential supply shock. So, I don't know. We'll talk a little bit more about this demand picture when we come back. We're talking with Mark Rempe, Quad Commodities, and then we're going to get into the grains. We got to get a report from Mark on how planting season has gone and what he thinks about these grain markets going forward. It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers first thing today. China has asked state and privately owned trading firms and processors to increase inventories of corn, soybeans, and soybean oil. President Donald Trump will deliver remarks Tuesday regarding farmers, ranchers, and the U.S. food supply chain. CFAP rule is coming Tuesday. It looks like early this week, reportedly Tuesday, USDA will finally release the rule for the coronavirus food assistance program. The House Democrats pass a $3 trillion coronavirus relief package. Fed Chairman Powell says full economic recovery may hinge on a vaccine. Japan's economy, the world's third largest after the U.S. and China, fell into a recession in the first quarter. Check out all that Pro Farmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Give us a call today if you want to talk livestock, if you want to talk grains. We've got you covered today. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us, and when you do, include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. All right, we're talking to Mark Rempe today, but before we get back to that conversation, Davis, go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Well, chip July hard red winter wheat was 6 cents lower, 446 and a quarter. July soft red slipped 3¼ cents to 497. July corn futures were a penny and a half higher at 320¾. December corn closed at 332¾. That's up 0.75 cents. July soybean futures, 6½ cents higher, 845. November bean futures closed at 852¾, up 7¼ cents on the day. July cotton, 45 ticks lower, 5780. And on the livestock side, June live cattle futures, $1.72½ higher, 98.72½. August feeders were up 147½ to 132.55. And June lean hogs down 22½ cents to 57.65. That's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Mark Rempe, Quad Commodities Marketing Services, my guest today. Yeah, Mark, I'm reading the headline news, and the one headline, President Donald Trump will deliver remarks Tuesday regarding farmers, ranchers, and the U.S. food supply chain. Hey, what can...
Yeah, I'll be curious or interested to see what he does say. I have no idea if he's going to talk more about stimulus or he's got something he wants to report on the packer side or what he's going to say. But I will say, you know, both the state and federal pork and beef agencies are doing a great job of communicating, lobbying, bringing information to the producer. So when these things come out and all the other things have come out, you got to get on their websites and listen up because they're working overtime and doing their best.
They certainly are. You know, another one that did a really nice job of getting some what I think is some worthwhile legislation, and normally I wouldn't be talking this way, but I think it is worthwhile now, Mark, House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson has got language in that $3 trillion package that was passed on Friday by the House that would compensate producers that had to euthanize some market-ready hogs. That would be some welcome relief for the industry too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta have it. Gotta have it. Okay. We were talking about the demand and the potential shocks that could come to the system. When you've got the barbecue guys throughout the South that when they come back on, the demand for those pork butts is going to be, it's going to come fast and furious. When we start putting bacon back on every burger, bacon on every salad, bacon on, bacon on, bacon on, it's a condiment when you get to the food service and the restaurant industries, there's another potential shock. Those are the kind of things that could help us out and give us a better opportunity later this year, right?
Oh, I definitely think so. And then we got to figure out, you know, when the concerts and the football stadiums and the baseball stadiums all get food. And I'm hearing some of the restaurants, the reason they're kind of dragging their feet is they're just, they got to get all their food reordered, which is obvious.
Yep.
And that pipeline's empty. And I would have to think that just getting, you know, the pipeline's going both directions now, back to food service and the tremendous amount of bacon that they use. And they'll be kind of in that BLT season maybe by then, who knows. So, I'm with you on that. It's just going to be interesting to see how it unfolds and how fast it unfolds.
Right. Okay. How'd the crop go in for you?
Down here in southeast Iowa, it was just a thing of beauty. We, we worked every day for 2 weeks and got all the corn and beans in, and most people around here are the same way. And every day it got better, and a ton of pretty much everything went in really good conditions down here. So that was the bright spot of the spring right there, and just nice, not starting and stopping. And so it worked out great.
Right. You know, a lot of people are thinking that that's going to add to our potential supply, burdensome supply of corn. I don't think people are willing to call the supply of soybeans burdensome, but still, we are still projected to have 400 plus million bushels left over at the end of the 2020-21 marketing year. What's your take on the grains, Mark?
Well, I've got a whole list of things, and oddly enough, they're all friendly. So, first of all, you know, every producer I've talked to, they must have all gone to the same Casey's the same day, because every producer's bearish. They just, first thing they say is, how cheap is these corn going to get if we produce a big crop?
Yep.
And that's a great question. But what they should be doing is saying, hey, crude was under $10. Now it's over 30. What's that going to do for ethanol demand?
Okay.
And, the crude people did a great job of trimming their supply. And RBOB's back over $1. Crude was 33, 34, whatever for high today. It's 31 or 2 now. So I think, first of all, in corn, he's got to keep an eye on crude, because I think that's going to be a big deal. If we have another couple weeks or month or two like we've had, we could be bumping up against 50 again. So crude is really important for corn. Maybe the biggest thing is that corn, beans, oat, or wheat, hogs, and cattle are all floating along 14-year lows. And if you're going to be bearish now, you've got to be really bearish, because you're talking about taking out 14-year lows in all these commodities. Not to say it couldn't happen if they had a big crop, but I don't think the timing's right. So, and speaking about timing, 30 out of the last 30 years, our seasonal is to rally right now. So, and if you remember last year, we rallied good. You know, we got that deep corn back into what, 460 mm-hmm. something. So, maybe nothing quite that dramatic, but I think it's just a little too early to be really bearish right here, right now, with full growing season ahead of us. Funds continue to sell corn. They sold another 27,000 contracts last week. Now, they're up to 267,000 contracts short, but we haven't put a new low in since the 21st of April. So they keep getting shorter, and if we get any kind of a spark, we got a ton of fuel there to the upside. So I'm not part of wanting to be short right now, these corn at 330, when, you know, it's just too early for that.
Gotcha. And then on the bean side of things, what do you think?
Well, kind of the same thing. Uh-huh. You know, they're super, super cheap. Now, that's kind of interesting, because there the funds have just started to get long. Mm-hmm. And while they're still short meal, They bought a fourth of their position back in meal last week. They're still short oil and adding to oil, but oil put in a really good trade today.
Yep.
It's going off the palm oil. If you look at it, it's got a nice double bottom in place. So you really like to have meal lead a good bull market in bean.
Right. Right.
But here again, it's just not the right time of year to be bearish when you're at 14-year lows, in my opinion. So I'm not wanting to do anything selling or hedging wise right now.
I was just going to say, it sounds like you're in the camp of let's be patient and let some of these things develop for a while.
Yeah, and if you need any corn or soybean meal or anything, just get it sowed up now because there's no reason not to. Because if you're asking meal to break that 280 level and go to the next level, that's not a topic for the middle of May. It might be a topic in August if there's a huge crop or something happens. But, this whole COVID-19 thing, we may look differently at our supplies. And what you were reporting on, and I read earlier this morning about the, China's looking at that. They want to get more stuff in front of them. And maybe that'll be, maybe other places in the world will want to have a little bit more stuff around them too, even if it's just for the shipping aspect of it, knowing it's there when they want it. That could be corn, beans, wheat, whatever.
Love it. Love it, Mark. I mean, there's, and one of the reasons I love it is because the focus on AgriTalk, everybody that I've talked to in the afternoon show for the last, I shouldn't say everybody. I mean, there's some clear exceptions, but it's been easy to jump on the bear bandwagon. But dude, what you said very early on in your assessment of what's going on in these grains, if you're going to be bearish here, you better be really bearish.
You were talking about the stimulus and stuff.
Yeah.
There's an aspect that we haven't even talked about and we haven't really experienced in a big way. But look at that stock market. That's almost got to be stimulus money trickling in there. I mean, it had a big day today. And considering all the news and everything you hear, that stock market's not that far off of its all-time high, really. I mean, if we get a little of that money trickling into the commodity side of it, or just more money floating around, it's a little bit inflationary. There's just a ton of things around here that sound inflationary and they're just pretty friendly.
Yeah, it looks inflationary and it's starting to sound inflationary. I mean, at some point, it's got to be inflationary.
Exactly right.
Mark, I always enjoy talking with you on the AgriTalk, man. Thank you so much. Good luck to you. It's a tough, tough situation being in the hog business, but sounds like you're handling it about as best could be expected. Thank you, man.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That is Mark Rempe. He is from Mahaska Pork and Quad Commodities Marketing Services. When we come back, let's take a look at the charts. We've got Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory Services, up next on AgriTalk.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture, farms on for our family and yours.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Davis, talking with Mark of the notes that I made was accounting of hog numbers right now is dartboard.
Yes.
We're just throwing darts trying to figure out just what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
One thing that I snagged out of there, is this the third afternoon program in a row, Thursday, Friday, and now today, Monday, when our guest has mentioned the inflationary environment?
I think it might be. It might even be more than that because it really started with Hackett.
Right.
With Sean
and I know
Hackett.
Seifert mentioned it. Ted Seifert mentioned it Friday.
Friday.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a theme that has been developing. No question about it. No question. So, and I keep going back to that 2008 type market. And boy, when you see something like that take off, you, you don't want to be on the wrong side of it. Of course,
right.
We need to watch what those index funds are doing and how that allocation of funds might be changing. Okay. And speaking of momentum in markets, let's find out where the momentum is going in these markets right now. We got Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. How you doing, Kerry?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you?
Doing just fine. Hey, let's start with cattle this week.
Yeah, June live cattle, we closed today 98.72. Still have a buy signal from a few weeks ago that remains intact this week above 87.75, which is about 11 handles south of here. And I'm still expecting continued price gains over the next 3 to 5 weeks up to 107.25, where the broader live cattle market can top out into later summer. A secondary buy signal would emerge into later summer if the lead contract, you know, presently June, closes any week above 107.25, which would then indicate 125 half over the following 2 to 3 months, where the broader market can place an annual high. Now, downside, the market pivots south into summer trade following a weekly settlement below 85.75. And this is an event I don't see happening by June expiration. But, you know, if over the next few weeks the market closes below 85.75, then the 65 even long-term support area is not out of the question by the end of July, where the broader cattle market can place an annual low. So, you know, to summarize, broader live cattle constructive above 87.75 through June, expecting 107.25 over the next 3 to 5 weeks, where the broader market can tap out into later summer. On to July soybeans, while holding between 8.93 even upside, we closed 8.45 even today. So 8.93 upside, 7.75 even downside. July beans remain in a consolidative two-sided framework into expiration. Both 775 even and 893 even can contain activity into July. And once either level is tested, the market can rotate back to the other extreme within several months. And not until we close outside this wide zone does this market display a directional dynamic into summer trade. And so, you know, a weekly settlement above 893 even would indicate 968 even within several months, where the broader soybean market can actually place an annual high. And the same is true to the downside. A weekly settlement below 775 even would indicate 665 even within several months, where the broader bean market can place an annual low. And finally, July wheat, we closed 497 even. This market remains stable into later summer, holding above 480.75. And that's a level I think may be tested over the next few weeks. 480.75 can absorb broader market selling through summer, and above which this market remains in a longer-term consolidative framework, which does allow recovery over the next few months back into the 590, possibly 615 even region. And so on that note, while 530 even can contain buying into next week, closing the week Friday above 530 even would heighten the likelihood for price gains by the end of July into that 590 even to 615 even region, where Chicago wheat encounters long-term resistance able to contain buying into next year. Now, downside, a meaningful sell signal does emerge if we were to close Friday below 480.75. I then expect 418 even within several months, where the broader market can place an annual low. But to reemphasize the bottom line, July Chicago wheat remains stable above 480.75, the 590 even region possibly in reach over the next few months, while it turns bearish following a weekly settlement below 480.75, 418 even, then considered a 2 to 3 month downside target. And that's all I got for those three, Chip.
Excellent. Excellent, Kerry. Thank you so much, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You bet. That is Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory. Don't forget, Kerry's got a free trial waiting for you. All you got to do is go to Artak Advisory, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. Get signed up for his free trial there. You know one thing that we didn't talk about with Mark today, Davis?
Your birthday?
Well, there's that, but that's okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Yeah.
Should be celebrated.
Cattle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Cattle. We didn't talk cattle with Mark.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Kind of by design, because we're going to spend some time talking about cattle again tomorrow morning. We've got Senator Jerry Moran from Kansas. Mm-hmm. We'll have a conversation for you. Ask him about whether or not willing to support the Grassley tester bill, the 5014 proposal that is out there. So we've got some interesting comments from Senator Moran on that. And then Bill Bullard, CEO of RCAF, is coming back on AgriTalk. Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting the comments from Bill on what he thinks about some of the proposals that are in the industry right now. We've got the 30-14, we got the 50-14, we've got a cattle set aside proposal out there, and we'll see what his ideas are for this cattle industry going forward.
Okay.
National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook for May 24th through the 28th. We've got above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt, with above normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt. The above normal temperatures stick around for May 26th through June 1. That is the 8 to 14 day. And then on the precipitation side, it's basically only North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, where we're looking to see normal precipitation. All other areas of the Corn Belt are expected to see above normal precipitation. So warm and plenty of opportunities for some moisture in here.
Okay. That'll work.
You like it? Is that okay for you? Is that going to make those pepper plants grow for you, man?
I hope so. Oh, they're so happy. Is that Baby Shark singing happy birthday to you?
That could be Baby Shark. Love it, love it, love it. Like I said, we've got Senator Moran and Bill Bullard on tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon. Get this, guys. Don Rose from U.S. Commodities right here on AgriTalk.